You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
I'm Curtis Marshall, and you are watching the Best Practices Show.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And if you're looking at growing your practice, one of the things that you're trying to figure out is, how do I do this? What data do I need to be looking at? Give me a plan. Give me a solution. And today I'm going to bring you a great solution from a great expert, our good friend Curtis Marshall, who has been a regular resident guest and a data freak when it comes to dentistry. And I just love the insight. So you don't want to miss this. So grab a pen and hit the share button. I know you're going to love this. Now, we are shooting this show live on Facebook. So as you're watching it, if you have questions, add them to the feed and I'll ask Curtis directly while he's on the show, and we'll get the answer right from the man himself. And then if you're watching him later on, like a lot of you are, keep adding comments to the feed and we'll do our best to respond, because we want you to get the most out of this. And again, even from this morning shows, this afternoon with lunchtime with Coachman, which was awesome, you guys keep adding suggestions to the feed on who you want to see, what you want to see, and we'll keep lining them up and scheduling them almost every single day. And thank you again for all the shares, even today, up over, I think, 39,000 followers on Facebook and well over 150,000 on iTunes. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We're just having a lot of fun doing this. Now, my guest today, Curtis, the man. You know, I think you're the best looking bald guy in all of dentistry. You know, I've had you on before. Some people do know who you are, but we call you kind of like our resident data expert. We're going to pull back the curtains in dentistry and kind of see how everything works. And so if you're a dentist or a dental team member and you're looking to improve your practice, one of the things that you need is you have to have data. And Curtis is one of our experts. But if people don't know who Curtis Marshall is and what Dental Intel is, can you give us a little background?
Yeah, absolutely. And Kirk, once again, always I feel blessed that not only that I get to know you and that we're friends and everything, but also that we get to speak to all these 30,000+ dental professionals to teach them and talk with them about the opportunities of how to take better care of patients.
Right.
Myself, I actually started my dental profession in being a treatment coordinator. So I was always taking care of the patients in the area. Whenever I go to Walmart, get hugs from my patients, because you just have this bond. So I love the dental field. We even have a secret safe word in our family. If somebody's talking too much dental, you say Oklahoma.
Oh,
stop talking dental.
Yeah.
That's for myself, Dental Intel. We are all about increasing patient care. And that's why I work here, is because I am very passionate about increasing patient care. And the most important way to increase patient care is knowing what to do, not just what happened.
Right.
I was just talking to an office this morning, and I was saying, all right, in morning huddle, what do you do when there's not enough scheduled production on the schedule? Mm-hmm. Oh, we tell our team to work harder and go do better job today. I'm like, ugh. That's what everyone says, but it's like the worst. That's the worst thing to say, right? It's like me telling my daughter, you need to do a better job at combing your hair without me teaching her how to do it.
Right. Right. Yeah. And, you know, it's so important now more than ever that we have really good data. A couple things. If you're watching this, this is one of the golden rules. If you don't have data and you're talking about how to improve a business, you're just having a conversation. There's nothing really going on. Data isn't the end all, but it's a good indicator how well things are going and what to improve. No different than having x-rays or photos when you're doing dentistry. You need all the information to be able to do a thorough diagnosis and develop a proper treatment plan that fits within your vision and values. So that's critically important. And the other thing too, Curtis, one of the things that we didn't talk about is now you're improving patient care, but everybody's looking for a way that they can increase team engagement. And there's no better way to do this than let them help with the practice. Again, it's not all about the numbers, but if I know how I can help and how it adds to the big picture where we can improve patient care and we're all talking about the same thing, this is a hugely helpful tool and I absolutely love it. And today we're going to be talking about the 5 ways you can increase production without seeing any more patients and without expanding your hours. Now, let's stop right there and define this, because people are looking to improve production, but they're looking at all these different things, expanding capacity, adding more patients to the fold. And what you're talking about is, look, don't work any more. Don't see any more patients. Just look at certain things that will improve production. Give us some background on this.
Well, yeah, this is so key and crucial. So I like your example of the x-ray, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing worse than no x-ray at all is a bad x-ray, right? That's the only thing that's worse. So when we're now looking at the x-ray itself, right? And let's say somebody they got rid of all their lower teeth, right? Mm-hmm. So they only have uppers. Well, on an x-ray, I can't be like trying to see if I can find more teeth on the bottom because they're already gone. There's none there. I need to focus and take care of the teeth that are on top.
Right.
Same thing with your patients. Your patients who are coming in the office, we want to take the best care of them and not so much worry about and hope and think, well, what about the new people who just moved in the community? Or what about all the people that's going to Dr. Smith down the road? No, we want to take care of the patients in front of us. And if we do a good job of that, Kirk, we will get more people come in because they're going to refer their friends and family.
Right.
Take care of the patients that you have today. We have 5 simple ways of doing more production, which ultimately it is more dollars, but it's taking better care of those patients, not just dollars.
Amen. And would it be important to say, hey, look, there's a simple little formula that you guys are big fans of. It's called the profitability formula in dentistry. You know, and just talking about that, and so people can get a good sense of where this fits.
Yeah. So if you got, like Kirk said, hopefully you got your pen and paper out. There are 4 levers, 4 factors to the dental intel formula. And that is visits. I can either increase the number of people coming into the office, new patients, more patients, whatever. Increase what's called production per visit. Not production in general, but production per visit, which is what we're going to be talking about today. I can increase my collection percentage. And Kirk, for those who haven't seen our conversation on collections, you know, you cannot collect $1 million if you produce $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Very rare. You can only collect after write-offs. You can only collect 100% of after write-offs. You can't necessarily collect 100% of what you produce.
Yeah, unless you're not participating, writing anything off, and there are people that do that. Let me just say that. But we don't see that too often in dentistry.
They still have their mom come in to do dentistry, and we don't charge her everything, right? And
that's true.
For senior discounts, and we still, I mean, there you can't. Very rarely can you collect everything that you produce.
Totally understand.
Collection percentage, and the last thing is overhead. And I think we're going to be doing hopefully a future one with our CEO, Weston, He can come on and talk about overhead with everyone to know that's the last portion of the formula.
Absolutely. And so today we're going to be talking about the second portion of it, which is production per visit. Now, give us a little definition of production per visit so everybody can get their brains around this.
Yeah. So first off, it's good. I didn't even talk to you about this. I'm glad you asked. So the main thing to realize is that production per visit is taking all of the visits divided by all gross production. The reason why we look at a gross production, not net production, is because you can only schedule gross production. You can't schedule net production. So we're going to look at production per visit and just say, I want to produce as much as possible. Regarding collections, that's collection percentage. That's not production per visit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, gross production, total gross production divided by total number of visits.
Yeah, and that's doctor and hygiene visits. Doesn't matter. We're going to break that down later. But what we need to know is not how many patients came and visited the practice for the month when you're dividing it against the production.
Yep, it's even counting like free crown seats or replace, you know, re-cement, right? Because let's say that you're produced in a typical day, you produce $10,000, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you see 10 patients. Our production per visit is
$10,000. Well, 10 patients, $10,000.
Yeah.
$1,000 per visit. Yeah.
$1,000, right?
Yeah. Keep the math simple for me. Okay.
I'm going to. Okay. We see $10,000 per patient. Okay. But for some reason, all of a sudden, we're still seeing 10 patients in a day, but five of those patients are free because we are having to redo work that our new associate is doing. He's like, he's messing stuff up. And all of a sudden, we become lower, right? We are now producing $5,000 a day.
Right.
$5,000 a day divided by 10 visits is what?
That is, what is it, 200?
Half of a thousand,
which is 500. What am I talking about?
Good job.
It's in the afternoon. You can't ask me math problems. You're the data guy. I'm asking the questions here. You give us the data. I'll ask the questions. How's that?
Good. So the production per visit drops. Why did it drop? In that scenario, why did it drop? We had 10 patients, and out of those 10 patients, five of them were redos. They're we didn't do production. They're reduced. I just gave the answer. Why did production per visit drop? Because we're now doing free dentistry. We're doing more stuff we shouldn't have to do, right? So now the action is very simple. Oh, to do increase production per visit, I need to stop letting my new associate do all the crowns because every time he does a crown, I have to redo it.
Right.
For free.
Well, that's never good.
No, but if we now take all visits, not just hygiene visits, not just doctor visits, but we take all visits, divide it by production per visit, you will find out why it's decreasing or, more importantly, why it's increasing. So you can do it over and over and over again.
Right. And the important thing is that you're finding out, you're truly being a detective, you know, for no other reason that you can start to compensate for some of the stress that you experience. Because you know this, as a dentist, you're working hard. There are some times that things don't go well, and then you start to hypothesize on what's happening. When you have data, it's not emotional. It's just telling you what's going on. And so, Curtis, let's go into this. You know, if I'm a dentist watching this, there's five ways that I can increase production without seeing more patients. Walk us through each one of these.
Okay. Well, let's start off with a really simple one.
Okay.
We can increase our fees.
Right. So is that a big deal in the United States when you guys have now done over 5,000 or close to 5,000 installs? Are people just really at the bottom? Are they not where they need to be as far as fees go? Do they let their insurances dictate the fee schedule? How much of opportunity exists on this component?
Great question, Kirk. And this is something that most people in the United States want to know, but they just don't realize. Because we have been able to pull so much data, what we have found is that over 60% of the dental population is far below this normal, the STEB standard. They call it UCR fees. Now, UCR right. fees aren't your fee schedules. That's mm-hmm. the usual and customary and reasonable fees, yeah. right? So it's like, oh, that's what the fee should be at. 60% are lower than what they should be at.
Yeah, and Lori Owens, our mutual great friend who's awesome, says, I find 99.9% of dental provider fees are too low for their areas. And I'd almost agree with that. I don't know that I've walked into any office and somebody's charging what they should charge. I can't remember the last time that happened. So as you can imagine, there's a huge opportunity. Now, please hear this. We're not asking you just raise your fees and make your problems go away. You got to do a fee balance at the end of the year, because a lot of you are probably, if you're watching this, my guess is that you probably use a little bit more of a quality lab. You care about your dentistry. So there's more costs that go into that. So your fees can't be comparable to what everybody else is charging.
Absolutely not. Like my crowns that I get done, they're nicer than mm-hmm. the regular crown that you could get from China, or the regular crown that you get from a smaller lab. These are, I personally know my technician, right? Yeah. And I'm willing to pay him more because I know he's taking a good job of it, taking good care of my teeth. They don't break, they don't chip. These are mine.
Yeah.
And so I'm willing to pay more than what the super saver says, $500 or $1,000 for a crown. I'm willing to pay more than that.
Yeah. Now, Lori said this in the feed. I think Curtis does a fee analysis. Is that correct? You guys do? Do you do a fee analysis or comparison? If I'm a dentist and I plug into this, can you tell me if my fees are too low?
Absolutely, Lori. And that's absolutely right. So we can see exactly.
Don't you love Lori? She's just.
I do. She's, mm-hmm. she's not only smart, but she's beautiful. So
she's awesome.
One thing that we can see is, all right, hey, you are at, well, just make numbers easy, $500 per crown.
Okay.
Right? Out of all of our offices, you rank in the bottom 20 percentile. Or you rank, your fees are $2,000 for a crown. You rank in the top 5%, right?
Okay.
We will rank you based off all the data that we have, because we do not trust the data that goes to, and Lori, she tells you this all the time, we don't trust the data that goes to the insurance companies, because that's not real.
Right.
So we're just taking exactly the fees that we're seeing post to the ledger, which is gross production.
Absolutely. And so fees are one way you can increase your production. I would say this, you got to get the value there first. And then the fees got to come along with that. But everybody knows that they've got to charge a certain level that covers their overhead and creates a little bit of profit. And that's one of the things that you got to be aware of when you're just doing data analysis. What is option number two as far as increasing production per visit, Curtis?
Well, it's not necessarily in order too, by the way. These are just five different ways, okay?
Okay.
So another way that we can increase our fees, or excuse me, increase our production that we do on each visit or each person, each patient, second way that we can do this is making sure that we are expanding our services.
Okay. Tell us more.
So I'm a GP, right? I do regular bread and butter dentistry. I do crowns, fillings, bridges sometimes. I also do a denture here and there, right?
Mm-hmm.
My production per visit on average is going to be about $340 to $400 per visit. As soon as I start to do implants, or I start to do Invisalign, or I start to do all on fours, or whatever it might be, if I'm doing more services now, my production per visit can increase to $500 to $600 per visit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's saying I now offer this. Some things that we've seen in the past are sleep apnea.
Right.
Teeth whitening. What are some other implants I mentioned?
Sedation, you know.
Sedation, thank you, right. Yeah. So going and learning more, offering more to those offices. Now, we see this happening in many different industries as well, Kirk. Like when about 10 years ago, when I was getting my oil changed to Jiffy Lube, mm-hmm. right? All of a sudden, they're asking me, hey, do you want to get your windshield wipers replaced too? They're really bad. Look, there's all these cracks on it. Oh, yeah, I need that, right?
Right.
What they did was they had me as a visit, And they increased the dollars that they got out of me because they were able to offer more of those services.
Right.
Walmart does the exact same thing, although their stuff's a little cheaper. That's a different story. But they have everything there so that you can buy everything you need one visit.
Right. And this often becomes a very controversial issue, especially if we're talking interdisciplinary dentistry. But here's the bottom line. This has got to be vision focused. Like you, I'm at the age now where I'm like, hey, like I just tell everybody, stay good, stay focused on what you're good at. And, but it doesn't limit you from learning a little bit more. And I'm not saying make your periodontist go away, your oral surgeon, please don't hear that. But it is true in a mathematical sense that if you're really good at something and you expand your services like sedation, I have a lot of dentists that do sedation. And we also have had some great technical minds on here like John Cranham talking about dentists that are placing, restoring their own implants. I'm not telling you what to do in this, and I don't think you are too. But the truth of it is that when you expand services, the true metric and math behind it is that you can improve production per visit. It's a true mathematical formula. So that's really got to be a philosophically driven thing. Don't do it for money. And let me add this, Curtis. You don't have to do all five of these. What you're recommending is you may just pick one or two of these, or you might pick all five, or you may just pick three of them, right?
Yep.
Okay.
We want to know our options, right? We want to know where you are, and you want to know your options.
Right.
So we have those two. A third one, as far as increasing, another thing we want to do is increase our diagnostic.
Right. So,
although, yes, you've always been able to do perio, right? Your hygienist has always been able to do perio, but you're not diagnosing it? Well, you're not going to get it done if you're not diagnosing it.
Right.
Okay. So the third thing to say is just diagnose treatment. Diagnose more treatment. Not stuff that doesn't need to be done, but the things that need to be done for the patient to increase patient care.
Right. Right, right. And this is actually one of the biggest missed opportunities in all of dentistry is that dentists and team members alike don't talk about what they see. And so a lot of these patients in the United States go underdiagnosed. And so this is a huge problem in most of the practices we see. We plug it in. Diagnosis is incredibly low. So can you talk to us about the opportunity that exists here? Typically, I can't remember the numbers, but you're so good at them. What do you see as a national average on diagnosis percentage?
Well, the people that are getting diagnosed, right? We're seeing it between about 30 to 40% of every exam that comes in, 30 to 40% are getting diagnosed.
That means something's put into the treatment plan, or let's define how you get that metric.
Correct. They come in for a visit and something gets put into the treatment planner that day. Okay. So 30 to 40%. But what we're talking about here is increasing, not only increasing the amount of people that we're diagnosing, because you don't want to increase production or diagnostic on people who don't need treatment. That's not what this is saying. This is saying, all right, I diagnosed a person for a filling, but I did not diagnose them for perio.
Okay.
Or I'm diagnosing everybody for fillings, but I am not diagnosing anyone for crowns because I'm too worried about the price, right? Mm-hmm. I want to increase the diagnostic percentage of things that I'm currently able to do.
Right.
To get that diagnosis. So this is where this number is really important. Diagnostic of perio. Diagnostic of perio is under 1% nationally.
Wow. So it's estimated, I don't know, depending on who you listen to, 80% of the general public has some form of periodontal disease. But what you're saying is that perio diagnosis is
1%. 80% of patients above the age of 30, 80% of those have perio is what the CDC and the ADA say. Okay.
So it's a lot of perio.
It's right. Some form,
right?
Whether that is whatever form that is. Yet we are only diagnosing 1% on average.
So as you can imagine, there's a lot of opportunity that goes, and really let's go back to the right thing. Let me say two things, because I love this conversation, Curtis. We're not asking you to find more dentistry or invent dentistry. Most of the problems exist is that we just don't talk about what we see. We're limited in telling the patient the truth because most dentists and team members are doing what's called wallet biopsies. They don't want to talk about everything because they feel like it might overwhelm the patient. And in an effort to do that, they completely underwhelm them. That's number one. Number two, since putting dental intel in the practices, I've noticed this. Diagnosis is low because dentists are moving too fast. So some of our highest producers, I look at, like, you're 22%. And they're like, no way. And I go, yes, you are. And they're like, it's crazy. Like, it's just crazy. And I'm like, do you see the problem? I feel like most dentists could do better if they just slowed down just a little bit. And so that's one of the things you probably want to pay attention to, right, when you're looking at this. Is
really like, what about your doctors, Kirk, that you're working with? Once they know they're at 22%, do they know how to increase that? Absolutely, they do. They even say things are too crazy. I'm running too fast. Oh, I need to slow down.
Yeah,
you just need to know where you are.
Right.
That's it.
And again, let me just go back to this because we're going to repeat this so many times. When you have data, there's no emotion. You're calm. You don't freak out. You don't hypothesize. You don't fill your head with stories. You go, wow, that's the data. I didn't talk about dentistry today. So you know what's going to happen in the weeks to follow. Now, I got to add this because I love Lori's comments. Also, making sure what is done is billed. That's a big part. Gosh, she's going. We should just add Lori to this conversation because she's going to like slap us around a little bit and, you know, give us the hardcore truth behind some of this data.
If you want to collect it, then yes, it needs to be billed.
Got to be billed. And that's a big deal too. Like, that's off the charts in epidemic in dentistry. Mm-hmm. And you're not putting it in there because it is your mom, it's your sister, or you got a lesser fee. And then the dentist says, I don't have any time. And that's why putting your fee in there, you got to account for your time, right?
Put it in. Even if you're going to write it off, put it in. Put it in there. Absolutely. Yeah.
I love this conversation. What is option four?
Option four, increasing the people who say yes. So now you start getting diagnosed and you start diagnosing the patients with perio. You start diagnosing them with crowns. You start diagnosing them with Invisalign or sedation dentistry, whatever it is. You now want to increase them to be accepting. Here's what we typically hear is that, yeah, I presented this treatment and they're accepted, but they're going to go home and talk about it with their spouse. Or they accepted half of it, but they're going to accept the rest of it later. The truth is, Kirk, they do not accept unless they accept same day.
Okay, now, so say
you're going to have your things around it, but I'm going to say it again.
Okay.
Patients don't accept unless they accept it the same day you present it. If they're not accepting it the same day you present it, there's no need for it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And I think that it gets increased, but we can go over this a whole nother time, but the numbers truly don't increase. If we get same-day dentistry acceptance at 30%, five years later, that same dollars that we presented only increased by 5%, maybe 10%.
Right.
They're just not coming back to accept.
Right. Right. And give us some good targets for case acceptance, because everyone I talk to is 100%. Is that true?
Yeah, that's what everybody thinks they are. I thought I was.
Right.
I told you I was a treatment coordinator, right?
Right.
I thought I was 100%, because when a person would come in and they'd say, oh, I'm supposed to get two crowns and I also need to get orthodontics, I show them the price for orthodontics and I go, oh, that's too high. No, I don't want orthodontics. I'm just going to get the two crowns. Uh-huh. Guess what I told doctor?
What?
Ratched out the 5,000 for their orthodontics. We're 100% doctor. She accepted everything she wanted.
Ooh.
Not everything she got presented. I'm just thinking, hey, the patient wants this.
Mm-hmm.
Accepted what they wanted, whatever it is, but I'm not counting everything that was presented.
Okay.
I didn't realize the importance of it. I wasn't trying to cheat anything. I just thought, oh, that's what they wanted. So that's what was presented. No, whatever you present, that's what the patient needs. So how much to get accepted?
Yeah. So it's important in just knowing those numbers. Again, when you're aware of the numbers and you can track them and talk about them, they're going to improve. The problem is most people don't know them. And that's probably the place to start. All change starts with first telling the truth and knowing the truth, then you can start to improve it. That is awesome. Now, Curtis, one of the most important in today's marketplace in dentistry is number five. What's number five?
I'm going to hit five and two. One more thing, though, with increasing case acceptance.
Go ahead, buddy.
With increasing case acceptance, Kirk, we live in the year 2018.
Right.
Right? There's never been a way for us to track case acceptance until now. Dental Intel pulls that data without you guys having to do anything on it. We can show you exactly what's happening. If you want a free snapshot, want a free look at exactly what's happening in your office, click on the link within this this show, and we'll definitely show you. But you should know your case acceptance without stress.
Right. Now, let me ask you about that, too, because that is true. There's never been a reliable way to track case acceptance. Why is that? You know, why?
You know, there's a few theories out there, but ultimately, it's difficult. The data that we pull from the practice management systems like the Dentrixes and EagleSofts and Open Dentals, all those, what happens is we pull those and we use our own algorithms to give you and tell you exactly what's happening. There hasn't been a way to do it in the past except for manual and, writing it down. And that's just not reliable.
I agree. Totally agree. So you ready for number five? Do you want to go to number five?
Get rid of your PPOs.
Okay. Wait. That's too easy to say. Keep in mind, there are some dentists watching this and they have 5,000 patients and they're 100% PPO. Speak to them too. Okay.
No, I'm just saying a way that you can increase your production per visit.
Totally agree. You
can increase your production per visit. Number five is to get rid of them.
Yes.
Right? We're not, like you said at the beginning, Kirk, we're not saying to do all of these. We want you to know the five areas that you can. It makes it really simple now. Okay. All my fees, I do all PPOs. I can't do that one.
Right.
I do not want to learn to do more procedures. I can't do that one. But I can increase my fees and I can do more diagnostic and I can do more case acceptance.
Yeah. Right? Absolutely. And so, buddy, I love this one because this one is so critically important. If you're a dentist watching this and you have a majority of PPOs, what we're asking you to do is just lessen the number or the percentage over time. And there's so many ways you can do it. Like, you know, Curtis and I, we would love to sit down and strategize with any dentist, but you could create an in-house membership benefits program. You could reevaluate the PPOs that you're on. You can drop the lousy ones. You can start to lessen the influence of some of the really bad ones, because here's the truth of it. The game is going to change all the time. I think one of the most important things is if you're watching this, you got to have your PPO contract right in front of you and read it, know it, because these big insurance companies can come to you with 30 days notice, not even sometimes, and tell you, we're going to change the rules, change your reimbursement rates, and now you've got 2,000 patients and you're stuck. You're stuck with their rules. So while it's probably important for you to get your practice started, the big thing is to realize you're not going to stay there. You are now, this is a great country. This is a great profession. You can choose how you want to practice. And what you're saying, Curtis, is just lessen that percentage over time. You're going to watch cash flow improve. You're going to watch patient care improve. And you're going to watch care improve, no question, right?
Yeah. That's the whole point is that if we're able to produce more dollars, that means we are doing more work on our patients. If we're able to produce more dollars, that means that we make more money ourselves, which makes us less stressed about the bills and the debt and everything that we have. If we produce more, we have more in the bank and we're taking care of our bills, we're now able to take care of and diagnose our patients better. It's a circle of life.
Right.
If we increase your production per visit, it is that simple. It's not production all in all to do $10,000 a day. I want to increase with what I have. Let's do more.
Yeah. It's awesome, buddy. I'm so grateful for this. So, again, there's five ways you can improve production per visit. Don't try to open your hours. Add more insurances. That gets crazy after a while. Now, Curtis, if somebody doesn't know these numbers, how can I learn these numbers and how can I get involved? And you guys have a free way to do this. Is it long? Does it take a lot of time? Like, how does it work? Walk us through the process of learning our numbers.
Simple. You just fill out a form, this form on here. We're going to send you an email. You do a quick download of a little sync tool that you put on your computer. Then we're able to grab the data from your office and then we're going to show it to you and show you exactly where you're at on production per visit, where you're exactly at on diagnostic, on acceptance, case acceptance, where you're at on your hygiene production per visit, and all these other things we've talked about in the past.
Yeah.
Super simple. Just fill out the form below.
Yeah. And if you're listening on iTunes, it's www.actdental.com/snapshot. You can go right on there. It takes a couple minutes, fill it out. Curtis will go through it. And then one of our team members will go through it too and just kind of give you a treatment plan. It's free. There's nothing easier than free, right?
Yep. And it's going to help even if you don't utilize it. Yep. Even if you don't utilize the data for in the future,
what do you
know where you are. Now you know where you are today.
Right. And I'm going to say you got to utilize it because once you see this data, you can't unsee it. You can't you're going to go, oh my gosh, I can't not watch this because it's critical. So in the future, it's going to be critically important more now than ever that data drives a lot of your decision making and process improvement. So Curtis, I'm so grateful to have you on. Check this out at Dental Intel. Curtis is a great guy to bring to any study club or webinar.
Yeah, be happy. If you want me to speak at anything, be happy to do it with me and Kirk. We'd do a tag team or something. But here's the five things one more time. Ready? Cool. We got increasing fees, expanding your procedures, diagnostic percentage, case acceptance, and lastly but not leastly, PPOs. Get rid of your PPOs.
Bam. Drop the mic. That's awesome, buddy. Good work, Curtis. I am always grateful for the insight you give us behind the metrics and what's going on in the world of dentistry. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for watching. Really appreciate it. Thank you for all your comments. Lori, especially for you. Love those comments. Keep them coming in. We're going to have Lori later on this week. You're going to love this. Keep checking out the shows that we had with Curtis previously. A wealth of knowledge. Use it to better your practice and team engagement. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practice Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.